welcome to the 163rd episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast.
Finger on the button.
My name is Quizmaster Lee.
He's moving around.
Motherfucker!
And with me is my bud, the one, the only, Quizmaster Mark Davis! Chillin'. Starting the quiz.
Oh, my God.
How are you, my friend?
In some ways, I guess this soundboard has given us the freedom of kind of being like a morning radio show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Boiling. It's Madman and Rocket.
What's up, everybody?
What's going on?
How you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Doing good. Busy week of trivia. Had a stream on Monday and then two live events in the middle of the week. Thank you for coming out to Always this week, by the way.
Good time.
Hope you had fun.
I did. I will say, walking in and knowing the categories, we knew there was no way.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, you guys did pretty good on the 80s and 90s metal, I would
say. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We were the audio round. We had the band of the last one, just not the song.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a lot of pop culture stuff, and pop culture isn't necessarily Seth or my strong suit. We're kind of like general knowledge people.
Yeah, things like glue, shoes, I think were some of the categories you wrote down for next week. Glue?
That was Seth.
Okay.
Mine was 90s indie rock, I think, or something like that. And what else did I write?
And
Florida Fish.
We will be doing 90s indie rock at Ollie's next week for the audio round. But yeah, I thought I was like, glue? But like, this is chaotic here. They just want to...
Yeah, he just started going crazy.
Throw something in. I thought maybe like the glue was coming off of one of your soles or your shoes or something. So it was like shoes,
it probably
glue.
Was his maybe, because he's... If any listeners out there years ago know that one time he left little pieces of his shoes.
I was just going to bring that up.
So it might have very well been him.
Poor guy. That's great. And definitely check out Lyrics to Go. Great show you guys got going on over there.
Thank you. We appreciate you.
Yeah, why don't we just get into our weekly wrap-up?
Sounds good.
Okay. Monday, August 9th, we were back on Twitch for another mega quiz. Had a great time. About 20 competitors in the room. Mappy 1984, that would be Tim Gomez. One of our, I think, Rumpelstiltskins or Light Keepers. 104,631 points to Tim. Warring Hearts in second with 109,902 points. And Ye Old Dumb Slut Elise getting the victory, 119,505 points. And they were back on their game. Elise and her compatriots, the Shiba Inu Illuminati, they won our quiz on August 11th this week at Pointy Bell. 113 points to them. In second place, Roll Ellie with 79 points, and Trivia Queens in third with 74. And then on Thursday, we were at Ollie's Pub in Cape Coral. Team name, that would be your team, Mark. Team name, you and Seth. 58 points. The Shiba Inu Illuminati, 73 points. They could almost beat the bar team, We Know Nothing, but not quite, because We Know Nothing got 75 points. 2-point difference there. So close for the turkey for Elise. Maybe next time. Mark, how did your teams do at Trivia on Wednesday at Nice Guys this week?
They did very well. We had... Old Whiskey Tango playing from afar. We had a couple handfuls of teams in-house. Two Dicks and a Chick sweeping the night. First round with 13 points, second with 28, and third with 27 points. So, you know, it was that kind of night where it was a toughie. Mike Mitchell out for the second week in a row. A lot of fun. Whiskey Tango winning the whole night with 38 points.
That is a very low winning score, but congratulations to them.
Yeah.
I mean, that absolutely is an indication of a difficult quiz.
Well, you know me.
Are you asking me those questions?
Actually, I'm going to ask you questions from last week today. I got a little space here now because I had that one that I wrote 2 weeks ago that I liked so much, I asked you almost every freaking question from it.
Gotcha. Okay. So, next week we will have some guests back in the stew. Not really, though. It's going to be a Zoom call, I think. So the virtual stew, stewed. I don't want to step on doubled features toes. They have the stew.
Yeah, yeah.
We have the stewed.
Yeah, we got the stewed.
Over here. And if you missed...
The Dio.
Yes, the Dio. Holy diva! if you missed our trivia this week and you want to join us, you have a few opportunities to do so. First, this Wednesday, August 18th, we're at Pointy Bell Brewing Company in Fort Myers, Florida. for our 340th pub quiz. We'll be asking questions based on our player categories request. Join us for your opportunity to win some free beer and suggest categories for next week's quiz. That's August 18th, Wednesday, at Pointy Bell Brewing Company, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. On Thursday, August 19th, we return to Ollie's Pub in Cape Coral for No Nonsense Trivia Challenge number 341 at 7:30 p.m. We hope you can join us. Prizes include gift cards, which can be spent on records, beer, or whatever else you can find for sale at Ollie's Pub in Cape Coral. That's Thursday, August 19th at 7:30. And don't forget, Saturday, July 21st, we're going to be at Pointy Bell with a office quiz based on the popular hit sitcom. We'll be quizzing Southwest Florida on its many favorite characters, memorable moments, cameos, behind-the-scenes details, and more from the show. The event will also feature a food truck costume contest, as well as a special beer release by Pointy Bell, the Schrute Beer Beet Sour. So we hope you can join us on Saturday, August 21st. That starts at 6 p.m. in Fort Myers, Florida at Pointy Bell Brewing Company. We hope to see you there. And Monday, August 23rd, we're back on Twitch, streaming a virtual pub mega quiz, all based on your category requests. Join us for a 90-minute general knowledge multiple choice quiz, which will include audio and visual rounds. That's Monday, August 23rd at twitch.tv/no-nonsense-trivia. And of course, every week in Cape Coral, you can play Mark's Trivia on Wednesdays at Nice Guys Pizza or on Zoom starting at 8 p.m. And please, don't forget to follow No Nonsense Trivia on social media, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Reddit. And join us on our Discord server to stay updated on all of our podcasts, streams, and events. Join us.
Won't you? Yeah.
All right. We're going deep on this episode.
I could tell you were going deep, so I had to go high.
Nice. Yeah. Good intuition there.
Your yang.
Good intuition.
You know
there.
What I mean? I don't mean to yuck your yum. I mean to yin your yang, bro.
That's how we do it around here.
God,
the yin and the yang.
I watched the little clip of Encino Man. Mm-hmm. Have you seen Encino Man?
Not in over 20 years, probably.
There's a whole scene in the beginning where Pauly Shore is teaching Encino Man about the basic fit groups. And he's like, fruit, but they're all candy bars, you know? He's like,
right, like a Nutri-Grain bar or something like that.
Yeah. Ugh. No, not a Nutri-Grain. Like fucking grape bubble gum or whatever the fuck.
Oh, that's fruit?
Yeah.
Bubble gum? Yeah, okay. He's like, trying to figure out what was fruit in the candy bar domain.
Yeah.
That makes sense. All jelly beans, maybe?
Something like that, yeah.
And they're like berries.
And then you got the something. He's like taking them through. Dairy. And it's like, I don't know, fucking those cowhide, what are they called? Cowtails?
Yeah,
oh, cowtails. So good.
Caramel chews. Mm. Well, now I'm hungry.
It. Yeah.
Let's take a little break. I'm going to eat this McMuffin.
Yeah, get that McMuffin.
Thanks for bringing that by.
You're very welcome.
We'll be back with some more trivia in round one. More trivia. First trivia.
The first trivia is, what is he going to eat for breakfast?
Spot.
That's the stuff, huh?
The McMuffin.
Yeah, does it.
Okay, we're back. Mark, we're going to kick things off with a world history question.
Oh, my best.
Just get out of the way, you know?
Okay.
What is the name of the boomerang-shaped region of the Middle East that was home to some of the world's earliest civilizations? What is the name of the boomerang-shaped region of the Middle East that was home to some of the world's earliest civilizations?
This is something that I think I have an answer for on the tip of my tongue, but I'm not sure if it's right. Something. Oh boy.
You're going to get into a situation where you're going to start talking about types of yoga like their pasta, like I did last week.
Kyle out there.
It's good. It lets me know that the show is still funny when we're not getting it right, you know?
Yeah.
Because Kyle gave that live listener feedback.
Can we be like 20% of the humor is us trying to be funny.
Yeah.
The other 80% is just us looking like assholes.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's like something on the tip of my mind. That I know this, but I can't think of either word. The crescent, the fertile crescent probably is. That's it. And crescent is shaped like a boomerang, kind of fertile. I'm going to say fertile crescent.
That is correct.
Oh,
that is correct. Yes.
Oh,
the fertile croissant.
Yeah.
Also shaped like a boomerang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
That's probably what that word means, right? I'm just going to say it. I don't know for sure, but why not? Croissant means crescent.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
Look it up. Well,
I will.
I'll look it up while you're thinking of the answer to this question.
There we go.
All right. Here we go. Duran Duran sang the theme song to which 007 movie? Didn't ask you this one. What am I looking up?
Does croissant mean crescent? I will be angry if it does not.
So pissed.
Duran Duran sang the theme or performed the theme to what James Bond movie? It's before GoldenEye, I think.
Croissants are named for its historical crescent shape.
Good to know my intuition was right there. It's a very similar word. I don't even feel like it's right to be proud of that. So let's just move on. The Living Daylights. Never Say Never Again. Moonraker. A View to a Kill. Moonraker has kind of like, they were getting pop stars and groups for all of these movies, but Moonraker seems like it could have like a cool sci-fi synth-led thing. I think that was around the 80s. So I'm going to go with Moonraker.
Sorry, that's incorrect.
Wrong.
You had said the name of the movie, though.
A View to a Kill.
A View to a Kill is correct.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So close.
A View to a Kill.
Yep. It's a clunky title for sure.
It is.
It's got two A's in there. You have to like pause and make sure you're saying every word right. A View to a Kill. Yeah.
A Kill to a View.
Food, my next category for you.
FUD.
Although the traditional version of this Mexican dish is a kind of goat meat stew, what recently popular taco consists of brisket and melted cheese on a fried tortilla soaked in its own marinade?
Can I hear that one more time?
Although the traditional version of this Mexican dish is a kind of goat meat stew, what recently popular taco consists of brisket and melted cheese on a fried tortilla soaked in its own marinade?
I had never heard of this until Death by Taco started making them on Mondays. And then, I guess it, caught. So curious to know how these, things get all huge. Like, one place starts doing it, and then I guess enough, cool places start doing it, and then everyone's like, gotta do it.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta make birria tacos.
That's right. Yes, birria.
Yeah, I was like, I'd never heard of this thing before, and I saw the pictures, and I'm like, but I have to have that thing. And then I got that thing, and holy fuck.
Yeah, it's pretty special, I think. A fried taco that you then dip in taco soup.
Yeah. You know,
it doesn't get much more delicious than that.
Yeah, what is that stuff called? Skylar uses a word for it, but I can't remember what it is.
But I'm not sure. I thought maybe that was the birria, since the original version is
The birria is, it's dipped in, but he refers to that dip as something in particular.
Au jus?
No.
No, it's not au jus.
No.
That's something else.
Something with an M, maybe. I'll look it up.
Perfect. Yeah. You do need to ask me a question, though.
Oh, yeah. That first.
And right. We will be hearing from Skylar later in this episode with a Rate My Question.
Ooh, daddy. Called it in. Hell yeah. All right. Here's your next question. I think you might know this. What classic rock group formed in London in 1970? Let me take that again. What classic rock group formed in London in 1970 is known for having a guitarist who is also an astrophysicist?
Yes. The guitarist and astrophysicist in question would be from a band who I would say is more popular these days than they were back then. This is definitely a case of, I think, looking at music history with I don't want to say rose-tinted glasses, because I'm not trying to knock this band. I love this band. But when they came out, they kind of struggled on the charts a little bit. If you go and look at their chart records, they didn't have like very many number ones. And I think they faced some criticism among rock circles that they were like annoying, but they were absolutely spectacular. Of course, I'm talking about the guitarist Brian May of the band Queen.
That's correct.
And Freddie Mercury, the superstar, fronting that band. Mm. And their bass player, we've talked about on the podcast, inventing a lot of technology that they ultimately ended up using in the band. Like, just straight up engineering. You're speaking,
of course, about John Deacon.
That's it, John Deacon. Doesn't he have a Deacon something? What's the...
Deacon Blues?
He's got... There's... Well, that's Steely Dan.
Uh-huh.
But there's a...
Oh, I know.
Is that named after him?
No.
Is he named after that?
I don't think so.
Our family's named after a Steely Dan song. You can guess why. Pop music.
Okay.
Did you find that soup name?
No.
No. We'll have to ask him.
I keep thinking compote, but I know it's not compote.
Mm-mm.
I'll think of it.
Pop music.
Pop music.
As of 2020, what Florida-born pop star has had 5 songs debut at number 1 more than any other musical act in the chart's history? As of 2020, what Florida-born pop star has had 5 songs debut at number 1 more than any other musical act in the chart's history?
Which chart?
The Hot 100, Billboard Hot 100. I feel like that's the main song chart, at least, you know, for the 20th century, you know, and it's still around today.
Damn. Florida-born pop star. Pop star is interesting language. Five debuting at number 1.
Mm-hmm. More than any other artist in the Billboard Hot 100's chart history.
Could it be someone unexpected, or is it someone expected that just happens to be from Florida? And what is a pop star?
Well, I mean, they make popular music and they're a huge star.
Well, thank you, Lee. too bad you can't suss with me with that kind of help. I just wonder, because like rap is popular. Mm-hmm. So is a rapper a pop star?
Yeah, I think rap is firmly entrenched now in pop music. They play rap on pop music stations. You know, there's rappers that are collaborating with, you know, I guess traditional pop acts that are singers. But I will give you this. We'll update the question to pop singer. Just to make it a little, I guess, more. This is the easy version. You could add singer to this. Or easier.
I guess I was thinking pop singer already. Would you originally say pop artist?
I think I said pop star.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Well,
Florida-born pop star.
Yeah. Well, I figured it was a singer. Pop star.
Well, you're asking if it could be a rapper, so I'm just clarifying for you.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah. I got you. Instead of pop rapper?
I mean, you were asking the question. I'm trying to help you out here.
I'm having a crisis of self.
You know how these episodes get when
it's just you and me and I'm all alone.
I'm going to let you
talking to myself. What does it mean to be a pop star? What does it mean to be a singer? What does it mean to be a musician? I quit. Florida born. Pop singer. I don't know where everyone's from, and I don't know, you know, I'll say Lady Gaga.
Wrong. No, I think Lady Gaga is from New York.
That sounds right.
This is somebody who has collaborated with Lady Gaga, Ariana Grande.
Wow.
From Boca.
And I was thinking her too, because we were previously talking before we were on mic.
Mm-hmm.
I just watched the Domi and JD Beck and Ariana Grande and Thundercat version that they did for Adult Swim of
Them Changes.
Mm-hmm. And how good it is.
Great performance. We'll put a link to that in the show notes.
And if you're talking like shit about Ariana Grande being on there, get a fucking life.
Oh, she's great on there.
She's amazing.
And these songs, Thank You Next, Seven Rings, the song from which she got the tattoo of small charcoal grill. She got two, I think, Chinese characters that it was one character meant seven and the other meant rings. But when you put them together, it translates to smart charcoal grill, as well as the song Stuck With You, Rain On Me, and Positions. Those are the five songs that debuted at number one more than any other artist. Mark, only 55 songs total have debuted at the number one position out of more than 1,100 number one songs on the chart. In 2020, Grande also became the first artist with three number one Hot 100 debuts in a single calendar year. The closest musical acts to her in this regard would be Mariah Carey, Drake, Justin Bieber, Travis Scott, and Taylor Swift, who have all debuted at number one with three tracks. Is that true? I think maybe some of those earlier ones, like Mariah Carey, Drake, and Justin Bieber, they might have four.
Mm.
Anyways, Grande sitting at the top.
Damn.
With five number one debuts.
That's very Grande of her.
Mm-hmm. Big moves.
Mm-hmm.
Grande. Here's moves.
Your last question of this round. What popular drink comes from the Tongan word for bitter? What popular drink comes from the Tongan word for bitter?
Tongan.
You know, the Tonga.
The Tonga. Africa, I'm guessing. And what is bitter but coffee? I mean, coffee is one of the more... I mean, there's... Yeah. I guess there's a couple bitter drinks. But coffee, notably bitter. Some types of beer are very bitter, but... Tonga, I can see some coffee beans coming from that area, and the drink maybe perhaps being sourced from that area. So I'm going to say coffee.
Sorry, that's incorrect. The country Tonga is a Polynesian kingdom of more than 170 South Pacific islands, many uninhabited, most lined in white beaches and coral reefs. And covered with tropical rainforest, in Oceania.
Mm-hmm.
The correct answer is kava.
Oh, kava. Yeah. I've only had that a couple times.
I won't drink it. I won't even try it.
No?
No. I'm good.
I've tried enough new drinks at this point.
All these drinks that are coming out that are like... And look, I know I'm going to sound like an old fucking white guy, and that's fine. And I have no problem with people drinking what the fuck they want to drink. All this stuff coming out with SCOBYs and stuff, I just...
SCOBYs? I don't know about that.
You don't know about the SCOBY?
I might have drank a SCOBY and then not even realized it.
What is that fucking drink that everyone was making? Oh, kombucha. Thank you, mm-hmm. Kylie, with the assist. You have to have like a starter SCOBY, and it's like this fucking floating thing. And it'd be like, can I use your SCOBY to make this fucking... kombucha stuff. I just doesn't sound any in any way appetizing to me.
It can be fun once in a while, but
sure.
Yeah.
I'll just have Mark Davis.
Some people are like daily kombucha drinkers, though. I think you turn into a SCOBY if you drink too much of it.
Hopefully
it is. You start your own kombucha around you. Oh no.
Kombucha, it's like it's a religion. It's like their version of Nirvana. You become the SCOBY.
Yep. To return from whence I came.
Can we take a break?
Let's do it.
Take a break. Let's come back with some miscorrections.
Oh yeah. We got a couple.
Okay. Uh-oh. And then a second round of trivia. Mm-hmm.
Right, we're back, and it's time for some missed corrections.
Missed corrections. How do you do the da 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 da?
I switch it up. Sometimes I go ba, and sometimes I go da. So you just want to hear my rhythm?
Yeah.
I feel like we're on par with the rhythm, but
well, no, rhythm wise we're the same. But I'm wondering because, like, in when like playing single notes, when you play horn, you can just like puff air, or you can tongue it.
Right.
And so I'm just kind of wondering.
I do tongue it sometimes.
Okay, all right,
here
yeah.
we go. Ba ba da ba 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 da 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 ba 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 da ba.
See a da da da.
There's a little da 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 in the middle there.
Ba ba da ba 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 da ba da ba.
Oh, I never do that.
You never ba da ba da ba.
I don't think I yabba dabba do it.
Interesting.
I but I like that better almost. I should try it. Ba 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 da ba da ba 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 da ba.
Yeah, I think when it was originally done, I think that may have been what happened. Ba da ba da ba.
It well, feels we famously improvise that on the spot.
More of a sharp. Listeners, how do you do it? Call in and give us your best miscorrection. This is what we should do. Have people come in and sing the miscorrection theme and just use their singing of the miscorrection theme on our voicemail.
Yeah, you don't even have to play an instrument. Of course, we love the orchestrated versions that we get as
but
well.
We love the orchestrated with a mouth. Just give us a good mouth song.
Right. Maybe like you could do it like... Oh, what's that acapella group that's very famous?
Rockapella?
No, not Rockapella. The famous
Oh, geez.
Not from Carmen Sandiego.
The something type.
I keep wanting to say the Polyphonic Spree, but it's not them.
What? The Pentatonics.
Pentatonics, yeah. Give us a Pentatonics version.
Kylie Ann with all the miscorrections today. She's shaking her head at us. She's like, what is this?
Every time she hears us record, I feel like she just sits over there being like, oh, I wish I was in there. Answering questions right. Anyways. First, we have a no note here off of Reddit. Succulent J commented on this week's post that they are about 100 episodes behind, but catching up. So that sounds like they're right before the COVID era.
Oh, perfect.
So you're in for a ride, but Godspeed. Hope you can catch up. And if you're listening to this, send us a rate my question or miscorrection or no note. You know, let's know how you're doing.
You'll be hitting it just in time for us to have another lockdown, and it will sound like
you're
going through current times. It'll be great.
We got a miscorrection here from Brittany Stewart. Small miscorrection that's probably going to irritate the snot out of Mark. In his question on the most recent episode, he asked about Hercules from Greek mythology. First of all, super fun question. I love it. It tickled my nerdy Greek mythology pickle. It floated my boat. It's the cat's meow. You get the point. I love having some Greek mythological nerdiness incorporated into the podcast. But... in Greek mythology, there is no Hercules. There is instead Heracles. Hercules is actually from Roman mythology.
Okay.
So we kind of dug into this a little bit after the question.
We did.
But she's pointing out that the question itself needs an update. It should say in Roman mythology, not in Greek, unless you are indeed asking for Heracles. And then there is a smiley face emoji. So thank you, Brittany Stewart, for that missed correction.
I appreciate it.
And we also heard from Ryan Bort.
Didn't irritate me, by the way.
Good. Ryan Bort writes, hi, guys. Here's a quick miscorrection for you from a Michigander. A few episodes ago, Mark said Lake Okeechobee is the second largest natural freshwater lake in the contiguous United States, to which Lee responded, take that, Great Lakes. As someone who lives in Michigan, I immediately thought there's no way that's true. So I looked it up, and Mark was missing an important qualifier. Lake Okeechobee is the second largest natural freshwater located entirely freshwater lake contained entirely in the contiguous United States. Because of Canada, this qualifier removes the Great Lakes from the category. So take that, Lake Okeechobee.
Yeah, I guess I thought the contiguous United States kind of roped that in, but maybe not. And I should have been clearer.
They're like on that edge, you know, because they're not in.
You know how I feel about the edge.
They're on the edge. They're not in. So I see the point there. I think, yeah, just a small update. Ryan says, love the podcast. Thanks for the weekly fun.
Love you, Ryan.
If you'd like to write us with a missed correction, a rate my question, or even just a little no note, you can write to us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. Call us at 1-929-356-6966.
For a low, low price of $5, I'll leave a voicemail message for you for when people call your phone. I'll go, hey, this is Mark from the No Nonsense Trivia podcast. Did you know that so-and-so isn't home right now?
Fun trivia.
Here's a trivia question. Is Lee able to answer the phone? Ooh, the answer is no. And I'll use the sound. No, he isn't. But leave a message and he'll give you a call back. Motherfucker. Give you a motherfucker. Oh, all right, well, I'll take the buzz.
All right.
All right, you ready?
Give it to me.
I've had mosquito bites that were more passionate than this undead, unrequited, an altogether unfun pseudo-romantic riff on Romeo and Juliet was a review written about what movie?
Whoa. Mm. All right, one more time.
I've had mosquito bites that were more passionate than this undead, unrequited, and altogether unfun pseudo-romantic riff on Romeo and Juliet was a review written about what movie?
Hmm. Seems too obvious to be Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet, because that's not really a riff. That's an adaptation. Like, riff makes it sound like it's like loosely inspired by it, you know, like different story. So
different story, Morning Glory.
Romeo and Juliet. It's got the Dire Straits song in my head now.
Sultan's a Swing.
No year. Nothing but the review to work on.
Mm-hmm. And what they said about it.
Yeah, it's pseudo-romantic. Gosh, where to even begin? Well, I'm trying to think of like some boring, dull movies that aren't very good. And start there. And then narrow that down to Romeo and Juliet riffs. So a situation where two characters are in love and their families or their groups will not let them be together. Mosquito bites with more passion. The Mosquito Coast, starring Harrison Ford. Not much of a romance. All right. You know, I think I might have stumbled upon this in my mind. There is a mosquito in this movie called Moose Blood. It's played by Chris Rock. And I don't know if that, you know, inspired the reviewer at all to use that analogy. I think it might just be a coincidence, but perhaps it led me to the correct answer, because this is a love story about a woman and a bee. And I'm going with Bee Movie.
That's incorrect.
Oh, no.
You got very deep in there. Holy shit. The correct answer is Twilight.
Oh, okay. Yep. All right. That is kind of a wooden performance from the lead actors in that. So I can, yes. I can definitely get that. I thought maybe because I'm going to be appearing on the Dream Jerks podcast soon.
Uh-huh.
And talking about B-Movie with our friends, John Lane, previous guest, and Kenneth. They're both band members in Pangolin as well. So in a couple weeks, we'll have them on here. You can get to know them and then follow me over to their podcast and check out that B movie. Mm-hmm. We won't be talking about Twilight. Good question, though.
Thanks.
I think I would have appreciated the year at least, but you know.
Yeah. I had some people get it right.
Okay. Oh yeah, it totally makes sense. I mean, when you hear the answer, like, I guess maybe a little bit more popular than B movie was.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
I just got B movie on the mind.
Unrequited is an interesting choice of words there
for B movie.
Well, just
yeah, because I mean it's
Twilight
a B.
And
oh yeah,
you know, thinking about like unrequited love as opposed to just like a straight up love story. Mm-hmm. Story, you know.
Yeah, I've seen the first Twilight movie in the form of a riff tracks. But I haven't seen any of the subsequent ones, but I know there's some like, she picked this person instead of that person kind of stuff. So I don't know if that plays into the unrequitedness of it all.
Yeah.
Anyways, chemistry.
Anyhow.
Chemistry is your next category.
Chemistry.
Glow sticks typically consist of dye, a catalyst, and a vial containing what chemical compound? Which is more commonly used as a bleaching agent or antiseptic.
Oh, I need that one more time.
Glow sticks typically consist of a dye, a catalyst, and a glass vial containing what chemical compound, which is more commonly used as a bleaching agent or antiseptic? Chemical compound more commonly used as a bleaching agent or an antiseptic found in a glow stick.
Antiseptic. What did you describe as a? It's a what?
It's a chemical compound.
Chemical compound.
Yes.
The only thing that's coming to mind, I remember hearing that hydrogen peroxide can like bleach stuff or make it lighter, and it's an antiseptic, and it's a compound. I'm going to say hydrogen peroxide.
Well done, Mark. Well done. Nice. That's good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
MacGruber over here.
20 second.
The 20 second orgasm.
Oh.
I think Kyle was telling me that, like, on average, the male orgasm lasts 6 seconds. So I was thinking, like, yeah, those MacGruber scenes, he's really giving it his all. I'm going to time it next time.
All right, here's your next question.
Mm-hmm.
The only native mammal to Cape Verde is the long-eared what?
Green Cape Verde. The long-eared what? And it's the only animal?
The only native mammal to Cape Verde is the long-eared what?
How well do you know Cape Verde?
I don't. I'm guessing it's a Spanish-speaking country, or it's located in a Spanish-speaking country. What could have long ears? Hare, rabbits? I mean, anything could have long ears if it's called the long-eared thing. That's the whole distinction, is that it has long ears.
Except for something that doesn't have ears.
Yeah. I think most mammals have ears, though, right?
Maybe.
When I think of, like,
maybe
creatures that don't have ears, they're usually, like, amphibians or herperps, snakes and stuff. But even they have, don't they have little ears?
Even they have rules. I don't know why they keep out.
As chaotic as they are.
They, I don't, even they. It's like, what am I doing? My voice has forsaken me.
Long-eared horse. Long-eared donkey. Long-eared rabbit. Long-eared corn. Oh, you said a mammal.
The corn mammal. Did you see they might make a TV series?
About corn?
Oh. No, based in the same universe as Cape or Dark City.
Yes, I did. Oof. I did see that. Oof. And they're also making a MacGruber show, speaking of which. Oof.
With Chaboy?
Yep. Will Forte. I don't know which one you're talking about, but Ryan Phillippe is returning, as well as Kristen Wiig.
Dang.
And Mickey Rourke was going to be the villain, but they've recast him now with Billy Zane. So okay. Different style, but both of those I could see be working well for a villain, a MacGruber villain. Anyway, Cape Verde, green. No green mammals that I can think of. Long-eared baboon. That would be crazy looking. A baboon with long ears?
A baboon.
I don't think baboons live in Cape Verde, though. Sloth?
Baboon, 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 baboon.
If they have ears, they're very small and hidden. And I've never seen a sloth with long ears. I can't say I have. Dogs, cats, elephants. That's African. Puma. Maybe it's some kind of big cat. Panther. Long-eared panther. Long-eared puma. Bobcat. Some of those bobcats have really long ears. I don't know how specific you want to get either. Cape Verde. Maybe it's in the U.S. I'll go with bobcat.
That's incorrect. If you would have truncated that, if you were going to straighten close.
Bob?
Nope.
Long?
Cut out the ob.
Bat?
Bat
long-eared
is correct.
Bat?
Oh. Long-eared bat. Chop out the middle there and you got the answer.
A sky puppy. Wow. Okay. Thank yes. you for the hints on how to chop that up. I needed those directions pretty specific.
Bob? Cat?
The long-eared Bob is correct. It's a bunch of dudes walking around with really long lobes.
Hey
guys. Mm-hmm. Welcome.
I put fishing weights on them, stretch them out. Football. My next category for you. Now, this, I feel, I don't know if you're going to get this, but I'm just kind of proud of this question. I think this is a good, hard football question.
Okay.
College football. College football's longest winning streak, 47 victories in a row from 1953 to 1957. A record set by, and this is my hint, but do you know who set that record?
No.
It was the University of Oklahoma, the Sooners.
Okay. Boomer Sooner.
Yep. That record,
that was the answer?
That record was interrupted by a loss to what other team? Who beat the University of Oklahoma, severing their 47 victory.
When did it end?
Win streak. Ended in 1957. The streak itself was from 1953 to 1957.
No idea. I mean, it's going to be a complete guess. I know that Notre Dame fans are nuts. I'm not a big, to be honest with you, I'm not a big college football fan. I like it, and I'll watch it. I'm excited that football's coming back soon.
More of an NFL guy.
Yes, definitely. I mean, through and through. I mean, is this just an interesting fact to you, or did you look this up because you were looking something else up is really the question. The only thing I can really do here is try and get inside your mind. Is this something that you looked up for a reason, or is this something that you, you know, I know you're from it. You went to FSU. I was always an FSU fan growing up. I liked all Boston and Florida teams, or all Maine, New England, Boston area teams, except there was none that, because my dad liked them. There was none that my dad cared about in college that I knew of. He wasn't like Boston University or anything. So because of that, I just kind of glommed onto something that was from Florida because that's where I was living. And I just liked the Noles. I think at that time it was probably like Bobby Bowden was there and they were doing pretty well.
R.I.P. R.I.P.
Big rip. And maybe that's him dying is why you looked this up. I'm going to say FSU. Fuck it.
No, Mark.
Wrong.
Was it Notre Dame? It is Notre Dame. Fuck. The other team that you said.
God damn it.
Well, I was like, holy shit, he's right out with it again.
Well, I'm glad. I know that Notre Dame are very proud.
You got too meta about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was kind of going by that, not by much. I mean, it was just that I knew Notre Dame fans are nuts and that they were good around then. But I mean, it could have been.
Yeah, FSU, I think more of the 90s is when their, you know, real notoriety came. I'm not sure if what their team was doing in the 50s. I know FSU started off as an all women's college.
They
did not have a football team.
Here's a little story for you. Mm-hmm. So I won a trip at my last job to go to somewhere in Mexico. They took like the top five managers from the whole company that like hit these certain requirements. And I was like kind of creeping up more and more. And I was like, there's no way. And then I ended up getting this delivery saying that I was going. Sick.
Yeah.
So I go there. And of course, all the big wigs from the certain pretzel place I used to work at are all there. And I walk up and I'm like introducing myself to him. Hey, I'm Mark, blah, 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 blah. And he's wearing like a Gators hat or something like that. And so for anybody that doesn't know, the Gators and the Noles have a very large rivalry. And I said, oh, Gators. I was like, haha, I'm a FSU fan. You know, I guess we're going to have to argue while I'm here. Huh? And he's like, oh, FSU, wasn't it all girls school? And I go, yeah, what's wrong with all girls schools? And it got dead silent. Like,
wow.
You could hear a fucking pin drop. It was like everyone in our immediate.
You confronted their sexism, like, and they did not like that.
Yeah. And yeah. I don't know if anybody else, I don't know if they were just like thanking me or like under my breath going like, you fucking idiot. This, and I found out this guy was like the COO or something of like the whole company. But I mean, like, fuck that shit, man. Like, fucking, you're going to use that as a fucking negative that it was an all girl. I don't give a fuck. Like, oh no, an all girls school. Have fucking all guys schools at the ass, I suppose. But we're going to be less of a team and less of a school because we were initially an all girls school. You can eat my shit.
Right. Yeah. I guess that's similar to the point that I was making. But just to clarify, I'm not sure when that transition from all girls college to
co-ed
college happened. I think it was before the 50s. But yes, FSU more known for their 90s football talents.
Indeed. Oh, yeah. I got to ask you a question, huh?
Thank you.
Yo, please. Mm. Are you kidding me? Who narrated the first two seasons of Thomas the Tank Engine?
Is it Gordon Ramsay? No. That would be wild.
Get in the fucking train!
The track he's running on, absolutely bullshit.
What are you? I'm an idiot. I'm an idiot locomotive sandwich.
Finally, a decent fucking track. I don't know why I want to say it's... He's not British. And I think Thomas is a British show? Maybe I'm wrong? I don't know why my gut is telling me Robin Williams. Or Tom Hanks? Tom Hanks, the tank engine? The tanks?
Tom Hanks the Tank
Engine. Hanks the Tanks. Hanks the Tanks.
That's good.
Ewan McGregor. All these names are coming in my head. And that seems like if it's the first two seasons, you know, like a kind of a, you know, just a bit voiceover job for a little bit while you're starting your career out, making movies like Velvet Goldmine. Go shoot that at night. Do Thomas Tank Engine during the day. I'm going to go with Ewan McGregor.
That's incorrect.
Damn.
The correct answer?
Mm-hmm.
Ringo Starr.
Oh. I remember that now.
Ringo Starr.
I remember that now.
I was sure you were going to get that immediately.
Oh, my gosh. Yep. That one, Dusty Mind Palace, I suppose. God damn it. Kama Sutra.
Oh,
your next category. Yeah. In the Kama Sutra, the binding thread of desire. The Congress of Crows is better known today as which sex act? The Congress of Crows
Could it be 69ing? Which sex act? Not position. Sex act. I actually just had a brief moment of why don't I just look this up?
You can't do that.
No, Mark. Not in the pub, not here.
What if right in front of you, I was just like, Congress.
I thought you were doing that earlier, but I was like, he's got to be looking something else up. There's no way he's doing that.
And then I said some dumbass answer.
Yes. Yeah, no, I think you got that one right, actually.
Uh-oh.
I trust you.
Congress of Crows. Sex. Well, how many sex acts are there? There's sex.
There's just your basic sex.
Blowjob. There's cunnilingus. There's 69ing. There's butt sex. I don't want to get super meta with it, but I feel like it's going to be 69ing because it's so funny. I'm going to say 69ing.
Caw, caw, caw.
The Congress of Crows. Now, I did have a team. Well, first of all, do you think it's like the pecking motion?
I think so. Right? That's what I was thinking.
Look like crows pecking? Breadcrumbs or something like that? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I did have somebody come up afterwards and be like, I think you should accept oral for that answer. And I'm like, I don't think so. They're not exactly the same. You know, one involves oral, but the other does not necessarily imply.
I mean,
you know,
yeah, mutually shared oral. Right. Probably shouldn't say that because that's like two girls going on and a guy at the same time. But
reciprocal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Reciprocal oil.
You definitely need that qualifier, reciprocal, yeah, if that's the answer you're going for. But agreed. I mean, everybody uses 69. That's what we know and love. Some of us.
Anyway. I was going to say, we've had this discussion.
All right. That's three for me. Let's take another break.
Sounds good. We'll come back with, I'll read my question or two.
We got two. We got one from Skylar voicemail, and then we have another one that we'll read and rate before we get to our final questions.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're back, and it's time for a rate my question.
What was that?
I started doing the other theme first. Oh, I messed up again. Yeah,
you got so into it.
And then I was thinking, I'll take the back.
He'll definitely background. Do the other one because we've already like harped on the other one so much that he'll be like, hey, that one can't be it because we sang it individually. We talked about the ba da da da.
It's just, yeah, it's in there in my mind, man. So you got a little toned down one this time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lazy.
Now we've got a call here from Skylar. Skylar was like, he texted me. He's like, hey, let me text you, rate my question. I was like, can you just call it in, bud? We'd love to hear your voice. And he's like, sure. How do I give you the answer? And I was like, let's try it. Okay. Just wait like 5 seconds after you ask the question and then I'll pause it.
That's a really good
idea.
And
we'll see if we can do it. So I'm going to, but see, there's this transcription here. So I got to try and do this without seeing what it says.
Heyo, this is Skylar, your old friend, Lee and Mark. You know, remember me? I have a rate my question coming at you. Let's get with it. It's going to be, what fictional character and later famous Disney adaptation first appeared in the book The Little White Bird, released in 1902 by Scottish writer J.M. Barrie?
The Little White Bird. J.M. Barrie.
Well, when I think J.M. Barrie, I think of Peter Pan. But, maybe it's Tinkerbell. Because, I mean, all of the, so J.M. Barrie is definitely known largely for Peter Pan.
I think that sounds right.
And I think I have mentioned before on the podcast, maybe I haven't, but there's an episode of Radiolab where they talk about about J.M. Barrie's childhood,
mm-hmm.
how his brother died and his mother was obsessed with his brother. And when his brother died, he like his mother basically acted like he didn't exist and would call him his brother's name mm-hmm. and dress him in his brother's clothes.
It's very similar to what happened with Salvador Dali.
Oh, is
he it? He grew up after his brother's death. And I think if I remember reading correctly, his parents told him he was like the reincarnated spirit of his brother. Or carried his brother's spirit inside of him.
So J.M. Barrie went on to become stunted because of all of the stress and pressure on him.
Wow.
And they think that he was married, but that he didn't even consummate the marriage, that he was like underdeveloped and small because of like the stress he went through. And that is one of the reasons that he wrote Peter Pan, because he was like forever a boy. Intense shit.
Yeah. Very okay. So shit.
That's what I know about J.M. Barrie. So, I mean, Peter Pan, a Disney character. Yeah. But I don't know that Peter Pan would exist in a Tinkerbell is interesting because Tinkerbell is very Disney heavy in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see her existing in a book before or, you know, aside from being in Peter Pan. So that's just my like little extra 2 cents.
Did Tinkerbell exist in Disney outside of Peter Pan? I mean,
yeah, like the when you
wish up and she I meant pink. Before the Peter Pan movie came out. That was like an early Disney film.
That was I thought he was saying that was from an earlier J.M. Barrie book called
1902. I think it said he said which Disney character. Which literary character first showed up in a book in 1902 by J.M. Barrie that later became a Disney character, I think is what he said. Should we hear it one more time?
Sure.
What fictional character and later famous Disney adaptation first appeared in the book The Little White Bird, released in 1902 by Scottish writer J.M. Barrie?
Later famous Disney adaptation. Peter Pan.
Yeah, let's go with Peter Pan.
The answer is Peter Pan.
Yeah!
Love you.
All right.
Bye.
Love you. Thanks, too, Skybot.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
We got it right. Good job. I'm glad you knew all that information about J.M. Barrie. I was like thinking Little Mermaid. Maybe it was just a bird first.
Oh, okay.
But no, that's a...
Hans Christian Andersen.
Hans Christian Andersen. Yeah. I almost said Thomas Hayden Church from the hit movie Sideways and Wings, and The Sandman. I'm going to give that full pibs, Skylar. I think that that's a great question. It's got tons of facts in it. Disney is always popular. Literature is an often requested category. It's interesting. Full pibs for me.
I'll give it a solid A. I feel like maybe it's a hair easy, but maybe it's just because I know way too much about J.M. Barrie. I don't know. But I'll give it like a strong A. An A with the up and down line to make a plus, but without the other line going through it.
Okay. Fair enough.
Almost an A+. Yeah,
almost an A+. That's a new rating, I think. The vertical line.
I'll call it the A1.
The A1. All right. There you go, Skylar. First question to get an A1 rating here from Mark.
You're welcome.
Now we have a rate my question here from Ricardo Jose Bello.
Hi.
Ricardo writes, "Hey guys, big fan from Houston, Texas. This is not my first time writing in, and lately I've been wanting to submit a rate my question, but I've struggled with the information I find interesting to formulate a question. So kudos to you guys for doing this week in and week out. It's truly a talent. Anyways, I was reading a book yesterday and found a piece of information interesting. Was wondering if you guys knew it." And there's, I think it looks like maybe 2 versions here. The harder version. Frederick Law Olmsted. Frederick Law Olmsted is a landscape architect better known for designing what famous urban leisure ground? Landscape architect better known for designing what famous urban leisure ground?
Central Park?
Oh, interesting. So you're thinking something specific. I was thinking like maybe it's like a skate park. or something like that.
Oh, I'm thinking specific. Otherwise, I think he'd say what kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're probably right. Famous urban leisure ground.
Leisure ground is a very... Leisure ground sounds as much as like you can say park without saying park.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking maybe like Yellowstone National Park. What if it was like a park like that? But I think that like that's too... Though if you're saying Central Park, then... What year?
Doesn't say.
Doesn't say.
But that's the harder version. So should we just admit that this has us stumped at this point and maybe check out the easier one?
Sure.
Frederick Law Olmsted is a landscape architect better known for designing what famous urban leisure ground? Hint. The urban leisure ground occupies 843 acres. That's pretty big.
It is...
That's bigger than Central Park.
Ricardo, I would say next time, instead of putting just in hint, say what leisure ground that measures X amount of inches or X amount of acres or whatever.
Yeah, we definitely prefer a more succinct question format without having just like hint tacked on.
Because, I mean, it was just there to add on. You know what I mean? That would have been an easy add.
Yep.
I could see how it could get wordy, but with that, you can just say which leisure ground, which measures.
Mm-hmm. It's even more wordy. How? 843 acres. It's big. The Grand Canyon.
Burning Man.
Urban leisure ground. 843 acres. And it was a landscape architect. Landscape architect. So they're working the land. Red Rocks isn't that large, is it?
I don't think so.
Urban leisure ground. So it's in the city as well. In a city. 843 acres.
I feel like Central Park is what we've got to go with.
Yeah. I don't think I have anything better than that. So I will definitely
All right. I'll say Central Park.
No answer here.
Let me go ahead and guys, while he's doing that, let me just go ahead and remind you. First of all, we love people writing into the show. Thank you so much. Don't change, but do change one thing. Almost don't change. Please put a link to the answer in a bit.ly link so that we cannot see what the answer is with the link.
Yep.
Please. It takes just an extra less than a minute. Or call in and do what Skylar did.
Yep. Give us 5 seconds in between. If you call in, you know, ask the question, give 5 seconds. We'll pause it. We need at least 5. It takes me a second to get my phone going here. So please give us 5 seconds. And
give Lee 68 and then hello. Yeah. You one.
And we will also make these instructions on our website soon so that it's not so much guesswork. So be on the lookout for that. Frederick Law Olmsted. An American landscape architect, journalist, social critic, and public administrator who's the father of American landscape architecture. One of Olmsted's early works includes designing the Walnut Hill Park in New Britain, Connecticut. His later efforts include Central Park and Prospect Park in New York City, as well as Cadwallader Park in Trenton. So let's see how big... Central Park is 843 acres. Very good, Mark.
Hell yeah.
You are the MVP, I will say, of our Rate My Question segment here. Congratulations to you, my friend. And let's go ahead and rate this question. I do like the easier version for this, just including the acreage.
Yeah, I don't think it helps that much. Actually, as a matter of fact, it almost made me take Central Park out of consideration. Yeah. I forget how big Central Park is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as far as urban leisure grounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to give this a lowercase p, lowercase s. Because I wouldn't say that architects are very popular. Usually when I ask like an architect question, the eyes glaze over in the room. But you're not asking for the name of the architect here. You're asking for something that's like relatively common and popular. So I don't want to, you know, totally discount it. And I do think it could use some rewording. Definitely fitting that hint into the original question format, as Mark suggested, would help this a lot. So I'm going to give you this a PIBS with a lowercase p and a lowercase s.
I'll give it an A. I think it's right around where Skylar's question is, maybe A1. Okay. It's existing in that world.
Two A1s.
I mean, it's, again, it's almost a little too easy by default, because I think when you say leisure ground, almost everyone is going to guess, you know, guess.
Yeah, that. So it's definitely on the easier side of the spectrum, even though it didn't come immediately to me. I would say it's a little bit on the easier side. And of course, if you wanted to make like a very difficult version of this, like you're doing architecture trivia, you can ask for the name of the architect themselves. But yeah, for a general population, that would be very difficult. Yeah, definitely want some specialized players in the room for something like that. Ricardo finishes, I probably won't listen to this episode if I make it on the podcast. You did. As I listen to you guys on my 20-minute commute to and from work every day, so that's about 45 minutes a day, and I'm just now on episode 96. Those quarantine days really had you guys talking. You can sense how lonely and how much y'all miss seeing each other. Anyways.
Wow, thanks. Way to bring me back there.
Seeing as I am the only episode 96, I probably won't listen to this for a while. Hope you guys are doing well. We are doing well. Thank you from the past.
Thank you.
And we will hear you in the future.
Since I won't hear you for a while, I'm just done. I'm just going to stop listening.
That's where I thought he was going with it, too.
Yeah, I don't know why the language sounded like that.
But I probably won't listen to this ever. Bye.
Yeah, it's probably done.
This is me signing off as a listener. See ya.
So you know I'm done.
If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or a miscorrection, please do so. NoNonsenseTrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966.
I don't know if I've ever said this, but every time you say, if you want to write us with a rate my question, I always want to say, or rate us with a write my question.
You can throw that in next time.
You know those spoonerism things that I'm into?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to rate us with a write my question or write us with a rate my question.
You got it, man. Let's do it. Let's take it again from the top.
Okay.
If you'd like to write us with a rate my question.
Or rate us with a write my question.
Or a miscorrection.
Or correct merition.
Please do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966. Yeah, the spooners, sometimes it works, sometimes
not so I was much. Not expecting it. I was like, how would you do miscorrection? Christmorection.
There you go.
Which works.
All right, I have a Cars question.
Give me that question.
For my last question,
my car, I can go very far.
Which hybrid vehicle? Like, let me ask Gary song. Newman. No, that's a real song.
I know, but doesn't it sound like something that like Will Ferrell would have done in Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
Here in my car, I can go very far.
Yeah. I feel safest at all, but
yeah, I mean,
it does have that.
And for its time, I mean, but now it's just very funny.
I think that a lot of people, like, if you listen to Gary Newman's other stuff, like it sounds a little bit more serious. I don't want to say that song is silly, but it definitely has a silly air to it these days. You know, it almost seems like cliche and corny, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
But Gary Newman, awesome 80s new wave rocker. He's still putting out new albums this year. He's got a new record out. That was pretty cool.
Down in the Park.
Is that one of his?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I might know a lot of his. I know by sound. Cover
of it a long time ago.
Okay.
And I think they did a cover of it. Maybe some other people. It's good though. Mm-hmm. I think Foo Fighters did a cover for it. A cover of it for the X-Files movie.
Oh, cool.
That's mm-hmm. I'm pulling
Fight
that
the
one
Future.
Out.
Is that what that was called? X-Files Fight remember. The Future? Sounds like an X-Men.
Yeah, it does. Title.
Cars. What hybrid vehicle was offered to U.S. car buyers in March of 1999, almost a full year before the Toyota Prius?
Oh, a name is coming to mind. The Leaf. I can't remember if that was like later on or if that's what you're talking about. But I think it's almost all I've got. The something Leaf. So I'm going to say the Leaf.
No. I'm sorry. The correct answer is the Honda Insight.
Oh, Honda that sounds Insight. A little familiar. I didn't know that, but that sounds familiar.
They came out a little closer to each other in Japan, but for whatever reason, there was a bit of a year-long delay getting the Prius over to the United States. So Prius gets a lot of like clout for being like a big, you know, first best-selling hybrid vehicle. But I thought it was interesting that the Honda Insight beat them to the market here in the U.S. in almost a year.
Yeah, that is crazy. Mm-hmm. Did you ever see that documentary, Who Killed the Electric Car?
I did not.
Very, very good. Very interesting. Real quick, before I go into my last question, I want to talk a little about your shorts from last week.
Okay. Yeah.
Some comments that we got on the Facebook. Mm-hmm. Things of beauty. Keep them in Florida, though. Yeah, baby.
Can you give me the voice on that one, please?
Yeah, baby.
Thank you.
No problem. He made these for sure.
No.
From Edwin, who is specifically saying, you never post a picture of the shorts. I want to see the shorts.
Yeah.
Apparently Lee is not low in camouflage, a reference to
my spread.
Well, oh. Yeah, and the meme that I posted of Sean, what was his name? The guy that drinks a lot of beer.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Stone Cold
Sean Cold
Stone Cold Sean Austin, his lesser known brother, that said, I may be, what is it?
Low income, but I'm not low income. Yeah.
Funny meme. Thirsty shot from proverbial late keeper Matt Hoffman. Joey Patterson just with a no.
Come on, Joey.
Evan Tishuk with a very fucked up animated gif. I'll have to wear those next time I go hunting in Candyland from Spencer Kieft.
They are orange and purple.
What is going on camo here from Meg Patterson? And now that's what I call a spread.
Yeah. Well, I'll just say wearing split camo shorts is self-care. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Hey.
Right?
We
all do our thing.
Here's your last question. The Tortellis was the first attempt at a spinoff from what TV show?
Two shows come to mind. One is Happy Days, which had quite a few.
Monday, Tuesday, Happy Days.
Had quite a few spinoffs. And the other is scratching in my brain. I don't love know why. That's not. I'm just saying this TV show, there's like a little whisper like, it's not Happy Days. It's Three's Company.
Come and knock on my door. Mm-hmm.
Or
we've been waiting for you.
You've brought up a couple others though on the show too that have had spinoffs. Reven like
his and hers and hers.
Three's Facts Company. Of Life. The microphone came up quick on my face.
Facts of Life. How did the Facts of Life? You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the Facts of Life.
Mm-hmm.
The Facts of Life.
The Tortellis.
Singing all these theme songs. We never did the theme song challenge today.
What's that?
We never did the theme song challenge.
What theme song challenge?
Playing the theme songs and seeing if we can name the TV shows.
Oh, the YouTube one. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, daddy.
Yes. Yes. I know this now. The Tortellis were the landlords on Three's Company, because they did not rent out apartments to co-ed tenants. And so there was like a thing where they was it John Ritter on Three's Company? The two ladies that he lived with convinced them that he was gay. And they were like, OK, well, that's fine then, I guess. And then that was like the beginning of the show. And then later on, the Tortellis got their own spinoff. I'm almost certain it's Three's Company.
Sorry, that's incorrect.
No? Oh, shit.
You were right by that.
Motherfucker!
Yeah. The Ropers are the family you're thinking
Ow!
Of. The Ropers. The correct answer is...
Got roped in.
Cheers.
Really? Okay, Cheers. I have no idea who the Tortellis are then. They're not the Ropers, that's for sure.
No, they are certainly not. No, the Tortellis was an American sitcom television series, the first spinoff of Cheers, starring Dan Hedaya and Gene Kasem. And they had both appeared on Cheers on several occasions as Nick and Loretta Tortelli, who were Carla Tortelli's loutish ex-husband and Nick's cheerful, bubble-headed new trophy wife.
Oh, okay. And Wings, as well as Frasier, also exist in that universe. Am I remembering that correctly?
I know Frasier does. I wasn't sure. Yeah, I think Wings. Wings?
I think Kelsey Grammer might show up on Wings.
Oh, interesting. I'm looking it up.
There's something weird, though. Like, maybe it's like he shows up, but it's a dream sequence. So, I don't know. There's some dispute, I guess.
Wings, Cheers, crossover. There's crossover. I don't know if it was into it big time, but how is Wings connected to Cheers or Frasier? There's a whole Screen Rant article about it.
Yeah. Should have mentioned the Tortellis in there. I might have gotten it. All right. Well, that's our quiz, folks.
Hey, there you go.
Mark.
Bag 'em and tag 'em, boys.
Great hanging with you on this episode 163.
Always a pleasure. Are you kidding me?
Two episodes lined up with guests coming up, so stay tuned for those. We won't spoil it just in case they cancel. that concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. Please join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways. The easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You could also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform and support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page.
Thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show, including our quiz daddies, Adam Volk at Esme and Redcrest Chicken, Tim, Pat's Garden Service, and Tommy the Electric Mud, just releasing a new single for a new release that they're putting out. So go check that out. Ordinary Man is the name of the song, I believe.
Yes.
All right. So yeah, go check that out, please. Our team captains, Rick G, Skyler, Kristen, Fletcher, Dylan, Rachel, Jenny, Lydia, Sean, OG, Aaron, David Holbrook, David Holbrook, David Holbrook, and it's Gil.
It's Gil. And I forgot to tell you, Mark, I'm sorry. Oh,
you son of a bitch.
We have a new proverbial lightkeeper.
Ooh, please.
Kate Altman's.
Ooh, there she is. Proverbial
lightkeeper Kate.
Heck yeah. Thank you, Kate. We appreciate you. For proverbial lightkeepers, Kate, Rachel, Moo, Tim Gomez, a.k.a. Mappy 1984, Lucas, Carly, Sarah, Cooper, Justin, Hank, Luke, Manu, Matthew, Mo, Spencer, Lisa, Ryan, Adam, John Lewis, Nabil, and Ricky F. And thanks to our Rumble Snailskins, H-Bomb, Lauren, MJ, Steven, Kenya, the people down at We Do Stuff, Allison, Paige, Kevin, Sarah, Douglas, Alex, Michael C.
Mike.
Congress of the Crows.
I was going to say Mike Central Park. Michael J.
Mike Beria. Oh, wait, Michael J.? You fucked it up on me, man.
We don't have a Michael B.
We don't have Mike B?
No, we have CJ and K.
Oh my gosh, I had put Bjork last time. Totally erased her name.
I thought you did that because of the J in her name.
Wait, hold on. We have a Mike J. What's the other one?
CJ and K.
Oh my god. Mike, jump up and get down.
And Mike K.
Mike
Krampus. Thank you guys for
thank
listening.
Thank you. Mark, thank you for saving me.
Krampus has nothing to do with anything in the episode, and here we are.
If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or miscorrection, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966. Can we get a Mike B on this Patreon list,
please? Please.
And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia and on Twitter at No Non Trivia.
And of course, as we've mentioned many times, we have a Facebook group you can join as well. Just go on Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast to join us there. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service.
Five stars only, please. Until next time, No Nonsense listeners.
Have a great week.